My name is Christelle Donaldson, and you are listening to The Working Mums Show, Episode 7, Digital Marketing, Entrepreneurship, and Motherhood, with Manushka Eleven. Welcome to The Working Mums Show. I'm your host, Christelle Donaldson, mum of two and busy professional. In this show, we explore different ways to find balance and thrive as a working mum in Switzerland. We'll share practical advice and inspiration to help you prioritize your health, family and career. From self-care and mindfulness to career development or financial planning, we'll cover a range of topics to help you feel your best and achieve your goals. So join us as we dive into the challenges and joys of being a working mum and discover how to create a life that's balanced and fulfilled. Hello and welcome back to The Working Mums Show. In today's episode, we have a special guest who brings a wealth of experience in the world of digital marketing, entrepreneurship, and of course, motherhood. We'll be diving into a fascinating conversation with Manushka Elephant, a digital marketer and serial entrepreneur with over 15 years of experience. Manushka recently became a new mum, and she's here to share her insights on managing parenting while excelling in the business world. She's also the founder of Big Eye Agency, a digital marketing company, and a passionate educator in the field of marketing. In the episode, we explore a wide range of topics from her journey into motherhood and entrepreneurship to her services supporting entrepreneurs in Switzerland. But we also talk about using AI in your work, whether you are an entrepreneur or an employee, about networking in a new country, and how to manage all your identities when you become a mother, and much more. Thank you for tuning in, and let's start. So hello, Manushka. Welcome to the podcast, and thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for having me, Christelle.
It's very nice. I'm really excited. So you are a recent mum, and also you work with your own agency. We can talk about that in a little while. What I would love is to start by introducing yourself and your journey as to how you became into that career position. And then later on, we can switch on to different things.
Sure. So basically, to give you an idea of my background, I'm originally from Switzerland, from Geneva. That's where I grew up. But life took me abroad, and I had the opportunity to study in Montreal doing a Bachelor of Commerce. And after that, I went to Seoul, where I did a Master's in International Business. And finally, I went to Singapore, where my last job there was at the Swiss Embassy, where I was supervising social media for the Asia region. So I did a lot of different things, but finally my heart just brought me back to Switzerland. And 2 years ago, when the world was going mad, I decided to come back and be closer to family. And since then I started my own agency, a digital marketing agency, where I've been helping clients from around the world. And now I'm again in a new chapter, because I just had a little boy 10 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And this has created a whole necessity to shift my business. So I'm just learning how to do that right now and deciding what fits with my new life as I mm-hmm. go.
Yes, thank you. So it's perfect, because what we want on this podcast, of course, is to share different insights from entrepreneurs, from corporate people, from little companies. I mean, share how we manage this juggle that is working and raising a family. And also, I mean, I'm interested to hear what you do first in your agency, how you help, if you help only women or mainly, or and how you support them in their work through marketing. And I believe you have also a special thing for AI.
Mm-hmm, I do. So I work with all kinds of people, not just women, but it's true that I'm a little bit more selective when I choose who works for me. So when I hire freelancers or other people, I tend to go for women. Maybe I'm a little bit of doing some of, you know, selecting people, not just based on their skills, but also based on the kind of life I want to help them have. And so my agency, so far, we've been doing all kinds of work around digital marketing, from campaigns, doing websites, doing funnel marketing, social media, all of these things. And I love it. It's amazing. It's really my passion. But at the same time, it's very complicated to always reinvent the wheel every time I have new clients, because it's always a very custom kind of work. And that's why now with my baby, I'm trying to find time to shift my business towards more coaching and education for entrepreneurs and people that are interested in marketing. Yeah. Because that way, it will be an opportunity first to help more people and also be able to fit my lifestyle with my work and not the other way around, because I've done a lot of weekend and evening work and that's not an option anymore.
No, it's true. And I think this is the beauty of being an entrepreneur, and the skill to learn is to adapt, to change, to reflect. And I am sure there are some learnings that are very useful for anyone, even to manage your career and how you reflect. I'm reading a book at the moment called Your Turn, about the different phases that you have in your life as a woman, as to sometimes you stop, you know, sometimes you put on pause, sometimes you go full bloom, and all of this is different juggle. And it's always interesting to see how one person approaches it and what we can learn from that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the chances we have now with the way that jobs work, you're not in the same career your entire life anymore. Mm-hmm. And we can reinvent ourselves with different seasons of our life. And it's something I've done a few times now, I feel, because I've had a different style of job, style of career. And it's always about what makes me happy in that time. Mm-hmm. And that can change. And I love how being an entrepreneur gives me even more freedom to do that.
Yeah. And I would like to jump on what you said, because sometimes it's easy to jump to conclusions or to put labels on ourselves, or, you know, I failed doing this, I failed doing that. But I would even take myself as an example. I quit corporate a few years ago to go part-time, have a job, and then try and do some of my entrepreneur activities. And now actually I'm back. Actually at the same company.
Okay.
And at first I would never have believed that. And yeah. I was a bit puzzled about it, but you know, I had a break of 4 years, I think, and I realized all the good reasons why I left at the time. Mm-hmm. And now all the good reasons why I'm happy to return. Yeah. And so, like you said, there are seasons and nothing is written and life is a flow. And I think it's okay for moms, especially when they come to Switzerland, if they're not from here, if they don't have support, if they don't speak the language, you know, not to beat themselves up and to be able to reflect, to step back and to accept that it's okay to do something a bit different for a while and then jump to something else.
Yeah, I think Switzerland is particularly difficult when you arrive and you don't know that many people. Because mm-hmm. finding a job, more often than not, it requires having a network.
Yes.
And in Switzerland, it's not easy to build one because people don't really want to make new friends. That's one of the harsh realities. Unless you're really stuck in a big expat community, it's not easy.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's not something that's really known out there, I would say. But I also experienced it myself. When I first came to Switzerland, I was French. I thought I was coming back to France, basically. And I felt it a bit cold at first. I came back from New Zealand, which was very open and easy to meet people, and I have to say, plus I was pregnant, so not going out to a gym or anything, and I did find at the beginning it was tricky, but then you find your grounds, but you have to make a bit of an effort, you know, like I discussed with your mother actually, who came on the podcast, of how to, you know, put yourself out there and go and meet expats and find your own community. But totally with you, I hear it more and more that in Switzerland, networking so important, whether mm-hmm. it's for finding a house, actually an apartment, a rental, for a job, for so many things.
Yeah, and it's something that's partially the culture, but it's also because when you arrive and the people around you are not that international, they don't really understand what's your experience. And so I think they're lacking a little bit of that empathy, where it's like, oh, I want to make it easier for that person to feel welcomed.
Maybe. So tell me a bit more, maybe before we jump into, you know, more motherhood and juggling and how you managed to organize your time and what you found and all of that. Tell me a little bit more about how you use AI, because I just want to make a side note that actually I had the privilege of working for a while at the EPFL, the university here in Lausanne, and I was working for a research center in AI. Mm-hmm. And machine learning. So I was exposed, not doing any of the research myself, but I was exposed to a lot of everything around the topic just when ChatGPT came out. And so I heard a lot about you know, AI for education, for research, for medicine, but for so many applications. And I think there is a bit of a belief that A, it's going to steal jobs. I mean, yes, it is going to take some jobs, but also that it's only for people in certain kind of jobs. But I want to say that it's really useful for so many of us in so many applications. And I will tell you a funny anecdote. My mom just sold a house yesterday and she told me, I'm proud of myself, I negotiated well, I practiced my pitch, and I even asked ChatGPT for some questions.
Oh, wow.
That's so like, oh, that's really cool. So yeah, just as a side note, you know, what's your learning on that, and how, for example, how do you use it? How do you recommend your clients to use it, and what can we learn from that?
It's definitely going to be a big switch in the way that we access information and we also get to exchange around it. So I'm a little bit torn with that idea that it might take away some jobs, because really it's going to add more skills too. Mm-hmm. And it gives us access to things that maybe before we would have to hire someone else to do, but you still need to have some kind of thought process around what information you want to get and what looks good in terms of the results. So I use it mostly in marketing, obviously. I use it for newsletters. I use it for social media, for articles, for website content, really everything. Mm-hmm. But I start with an idea of exactly what it is I want. And then I usually use it to massage the drafts that I have, because I enjoy writing and it's something that I do quite naturally. So then I'll just make it better using things like ChatGPT and those kind of tools. But then you still need to know what's the output going to be like in terms of what's really high quality, because it's not going to do the work for me, but it's going to elevate what I'm going to be creating. Yeah. I think that's one of the big ways that it's really contributing for me. It's like an assistant, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I love to use it to brainstorm, so to increase the number of ideas. Like you say, to fine-tune, retune, whether it's a writing or even some ideas or a structure. But also, I like the word assistant because I use it, to be honest, for the podcast, for example. I use it to help me streamline the production of it. Mm-hmm. Like rewrite some paragraphs of the intro, or I feed it ideas and it helps me. And I think it really helped me feel confident that I would have time to manage this podcast while having a job, for example. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of one of the messages I think that people need to take, is to learn how can you make it work for you.
Yeah, definitely. It can also increase your output, because maybe before it took you 5 hours to write a really good article, and you cut down your time in half. Mm-hmm. You still need to do some research, double check things, have it speak with your voice, which is also very important, because if everyone just said, ChatGPT, write me an article about XYZ, where would be the value of it?
Yeah, no, but the research part. So for example, in the science domain, they were saying, how can we use, for example, ChatGPT? You feed it a very long article on a complex subject, and you ask it to help you learn it, understand it better, shorten it, so that actually the research part is shortened, not necessarily the work that you're going to do. But yeah, I like that. So how do you empower people to use it? How do you recommend it? Or you published a guide, I think, right?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to help entrepreneurs feel more confident when it comes to using tools like this. Mm-hmm. Because most of entrepreneurs, especially the ones that are just starting out or who want to be starting, and they're scared because they're like, it's going to be so much budget, such an investment in time. So that's the beauty of using tools like AI, is that it's going to give you access to skills that you don't necessarily need to master. And it doesn't even have to be very costly, because if you use just a regular ChatGPT 3, that's completely free.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to help them do is, how do you integrate AI tools so that you're able to do more with the same amount of time? So for example, in your case, like you just said, you're still going to have your full-time job, but you're managing that podcast now, and it's just going to give you so much more bandwidth, basically. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm trying to teach them. It's how you don't have to do everything yourself. There are still going to be some things, like maybe if you want to have a really good website, you're going to hire someone, because there are certain things that you need the knowledge and the experience to do. But you can also do a lot more without spending more when you're using AI tools.
Yeah, No, I agree. And I think it goes back to what you were saying before, going from being an agency doing it all to coaching people and training them. And I think, you know, it's been also a trend for years. But these days, because the tools are so much easier and available to use, it's easier to manage a few more things by yourself. And I think empowering yourself by training yourself on how to do so many things is very important. As an entrepreneur, but also I think as an employee, jobs are changing, qualifications change, or what we ask of you, and you can't completely forget it.
But so one of the things I'm also helping people do now is selecting the right tools. Because there's also, like, if you look online, there's many different AI tools now, and there's new ones popping up every day.
Yeah.
So it's which ones are the right ones for you? Whether you're trying to start a course, do online coaching, sell products in an e-com store, whatever it is, there's going to be a number of tools that are going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know how to use them.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to, like, bring that knowledge so people feel confident and they're able to basically empower themselves.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think it's very important. I feel like I also used to be a bit of a, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? And which one, like, people need to have a reference of who they can contact if they need to know what tools to choose. It's indeed something very important because it can be very overwhelming. So I will link for sure in the show notes, I will link to your website, your articles and your social media. And I would love if we can, you know, switch a bit the hat now and talk to the mum and how you experienced that, because clearly you traveled the world, you've done many different jobs. And then, you know, what do you notice in the huge shift when you become a mum and your approach to work?
The first thing I'll say is I thought it would be a lot easier.
Yeah.
I thought, like, oh, he's going to sleep all the time. I have plenty of time to take care of my business. It's going to be so easy. No, it's not.
No.
So I'm only 10 weeks in. So obviously I'm still also learning how to be a mom. And I am sleep deprived.
Yes.
To the point that I was taking a shower yesterday and I wasn't sure anymore if I already used the body wash or not.
Yes.
So that's how I feel right now. But at the same time, I have the chance to be surrounded by people that are helping me. So my partner, for example, he's taking all the next Fridays off so that I have the full day. My mom is also coming to take one day a week. And so little by little, I'll be able to not just try to aim for the 40-minute nap that might happen, some more.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that I'm really, really grateful for, having
great
network around me. But I think the biggest shift is also, how does it work now that I'm a mom? How am I going to have all those different identities of I'm still a partner, I'm still an entrepreneur, I'm still a woman? So it's all these things now have to, like, find their place together. But you already know that.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I've had some hard learnings that sometimes, or for too long, I made the mistake, like many moms, to really give so much to my kids and to my partner and forget myself. And so now I'm kind of reclaiming that. And sometimes you go a bit too much on one extreme and then too much on the other, and you have to navigate that. But indeed, it's a great shift in identities and sharing your different hats and learning how all of that works. But at the same time, I've heard a lot of stories about people who even have more of a motivation since they had their kids to be more efficient at work, to come home, you know, and be out of work with their kids. Or there are so many also benefits, there are challenges, but it's a big change.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm trying to do better as well is that when I'm with my kid, I'm just with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to multitask with my phone or my computer on one knee. And sometimes it's a little bit frustrating because I have that huge to-do list of how I want to basically get my business going. And also because at some point I want him to look at me and be like, oh, you've done all this. I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, but I have to do all the work to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself a little bit frustrated because I'm not able to do that much when I'm taking care of him during the day. But at the same time, I know I have to be careful to give him really my presence, because that's how we're going to be connecting. And that's also one of the reasons why I want to be an entrepreneur, is being able to stay at home,
mm-hmm.
take care of my son.
Yeah, and totally right. And I mean, and first, I admire you for, you know, the difficulty when you're an entrepreneur is that you don't necessarily have a maternity leave. If you're gone, who does the work for you? So it's different from sometimes when you're an employee and you have a proper 3, 4, 6 months leave, and it's much easier. And I do remember, like you were saying, you thought you would have more time. I remember my sister calling me when she had a child after I had mine, and she goes, I wanted to make a potato gratin. It took me the whole day. How do you manage? You know, because you're constantly interrupted. And but there are different learnings, like you say, and acceptance, you know, being patient with yourself, compassion with yourself, that you can't do it all. And like you say, being present with your child, it's very difficult, but very important, because they notice straight away when you're there, but not there.
Yeah.
I saw it a lot during COVID. I was lucky because I was in between two jobs at the time. So I was at home the first time we had a lockdown. But, you know, as soon as you're on your phone or something, they really see it too. And they feel it. And the relationship is eroded.
Yeah. And I was also asking myself some questions around the use of phones and social media, because I'm on it all the time. And part of the time is because of my job. Part of it time is just because I'm addicted, and I'll admit it.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen to my son, because it's not good for his development. It's not good for his self-esteem and his image of himself as he grows up and later on will become a toddler and a teenager. And you know, all the whole screens and blue lights and all of that. So I know that whatever I'm going to be doing, and my partner as well, he's going to take this as that's the model of what adults are like. And that's also a whole thing of how do I shift that in my ways at home, around him, but how do I still do the things that I enjoy?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's
about that balance.
It's a very good point and a very good question.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me then, what type of support? So you mentioned before, you know, a support network of your partner, your mother, any other childcare that you're going to have for your son?
Well, I'm trying to delay that as much as possible. First of all, because it's very expensive in Switzerland.
Yes.
You have to get on wait lists. And I'm also in an area where we're really in the countryside here. I really want to maximize the fact that I'm an entrepreneur and find the right way to balance the two. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be easy, and I'm sure it's going to be taking a lot of adjustments as we go. But nearby, there is a school in the forest.
Ah, yes.
A daycare. So that's one of the things that I'm waiting for him to be old enough to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love that. My son used to do with the class, with the teacher, when he was a bit older. But it's amazing what they learn, how fast they learn, and they really enjoy it. I agree. And do you remember growing up in, because you grew up in Switzerland, right?
In Geneva, yeah.
Yeah, and you were mainly at home or when you grew up or in daycare yourself, do you remember?
Well, I started kindergarten when I was 4. And then it was all the time there. But I mean, my family situation was also quite unique because my mom restarted her studies when she was 30.
Oh.
And I was 7 years old at the time. So she completely switched careers. And then she went on to do 2 masters and a PhD. So I really had that example of you're able to do it all.
That's great. Yeah.
Found ways to make it work. And that was amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, it's a good point as well. I know you were saying how you wanted to model your child, your screen behavior. And in the same way, you can find and be a model in different ways of your life. Yeah. How you study, how you work, how, what kind of message you want to pass as well.
Yeah.
Yes, interesting. So, do you have any tip or any kind of concluding advice that you would like to leave for all the mums who come to Switzerland and juggle with their career or entrepreneurship or anything?
Well, I think the point that we made earlier about having a network, that's one where go on Facebook, get on the Working Moms group, and there's more groups like this too, where you can really connect with people, because that's one of the ways I've made friends since I came back, because after 15 years abroad, this was like being an expat again in a new place.
Yeah.
And really, when you're able to connect with people that are sharing the same experiences, it's so much easier.
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing that. That was nice. I completely agree. I mean, that's why I like this group, and that's why I've worked hard on keeping it there. But yeah, networking so important, and then our virtual, and now it's no more COVID, so we can again go in person and organize groups, and maybe we'd get around to organize meetups as well. That would be nice.
A little networking, that would be good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be good. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Manushka. It was very nice speaking to you.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.